Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, there's obviously a lot to talk about today on the show. We've got the ongoing Iowa caucus, quote-unquote, results, which are supposed to start coming in at 5 o'clock today. They should have come in last night. And all the reaction of what's going on in the Democrat Party and what's happening for Donald Trump as a result. We're going to get to that here in a little bit. We're going to talk about a little preview of tonight's State of the Union address. Will Donald Trump go after his accusers since they're going to be seated right in front of him? And also then we've got tomorrow's vote on impeachment. It's crazy. And then something I'll play for you. This is another one of those things still to this day that this even happens anymore, that something you have to see it to believe it or hear it to believe it. Something that Adam Schiff said yesterday in his closing comments, which is just hilariously psychopathic. So we'll get there as well. But in this first segment of the show, I wanted to talk about something coming here in Raleigh in just a few weeks, actually. Friday, February 21st, and Saturday, February 22nd, Friday night, and then Saturday, a good chunk of the day, 8 a.m. to 2:45 p.m. An incredible men's conference coming to – it's a great church partner. I've been friends with Providence Baptist Church for years, and they've done a lot of great work in men's conferences. But in particular, this one's going to be totally off the hook because Dr. Eric Mason, who's a pastor up in Philadelphia, an incredible communicator, got such a great heart for biblical manhood and reaching men, is going to be the keynote speaker. It's going to be awesome. So we have a buddy of mine, Richard Newton from Providence Baptist Church, who's joined us by phone for this quick conversation here at the beginning of the show. So we can encourage all you guys to get over here to Raleigh on February 21st and 22nd. Richard, how are you, buddy? Thanks for calling in.
I'm doing awesome, Steve. Thanks for having me on today.
You're very welcome, and we look forward. I'm going to talk to Dr. Mason next Tuesday, so we'll kind of revisit this next Tuesday. But tell me, what's the kind of the goal behind the men's conference at Providence Baptist Church? This is February 21st and 22nd here in the Raleigh area.
You know, Steve, when we were sitting around the table weeks and months ago, dreaming and praying about this, one word kept coming up, and that's the word unstuck. Although we've got men in our church doing a lot of great things, we're encountering men and seeing them try to move forward and really work at times to move forward in their relationship with Christ and their relationship in their families and their work and their churches. And yet, just seeing this stuck place that men can oftentimes get, where just normal things, just fear, isolation, laziness, a lack of intentionality, being wimpy about the wrong things, not able to forgive, not able to say I'm sorry, just kind of normal things. And what we've been praying about with Dr. Mason, Pastor E, as many in his church know him as, is that he would just come and be with us and bring just a relevant, powerful, fresh word to our men, just to get unstuck from some of those just kind of almost crazy, stupid points that we just kind of have a tendency to get in and stay in.
Yeah, and I think as men, we all get very busy. You may not be doing anything horrific, and you may, you love Jesus. We're not saying you're not a believer, but we just kind of, it's amazing what you can get used to. And every once in a while, I mean, we all need a tune-up. We all need to be challenged. That's why I was so excited when you guys told me that Dr. Eric Mason was coming to town, because he's such a fabulous preacher and teacher and has such a great heart for men.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I told you this. My niece goes to his church in downtown Philadelphia, and he just did this sermon series on biblical manhood, and it blew her away. She's like, all of a sudden, I know what I need to look for one day if God would bring me the right kind of man to marry. I mean, it's going to be so powerful. But there's also a bunch of breakout sessions too, aren't there?
Yeah, tons of breakout sessions. We prayed about trying to whittle it down, and then but what the Lord just kept saying to us, Steve, was just speak to practical things, things like more than flowers, being intentional about romance, pursuing your spouse, creative family times, generosity, how to be a steward of all you have, that role reversals sometimes even the sandwich generation, kids still at home and dealing with aging parents. I mean, we're just going to do a financial workshop. So we're not this is a time to come and let men be men,
yeah,
and be real and practical for about what'll end up being about 7 or 8 hours. And, you know, women do this so much better than we do, Steve.
That's right.
They agree to gather and to hold each other accountable. And men, we just get, I got that. You know, I don't need to go to that. And but, yeah. Steve, we do need to go
That.
It's real.
So. And we're talking about men of all ages. This is going to be great for teenagers. Bring your son, bring your buddies, bring your father. And ladies, you
Absolutely.
Should be encouraging your men and your sons and your grandfathers to all go, because we all need this. I mean, a couple in the breakout sessions, one of my personal favorites, Help I Have a Teenager. I love that one. But even things like apologetics and politics and religion, there's 22 different breakout sessions.
Yep.
And then, of course, the main sessions done by Dr. Mason, which is going to be totally off the hook. Again, we'll have Eric on the show next Tuesday, and so people can kind of get a flavor for what that's going to be like. How can people find out more about it? And I know we've got a special special deal for folks that listen to the show.
They do. See, just real quick, you're probably going to mention this before I get off the phone, but let's be remembering. Dr. Mason's wife, Yvette, just recently had a second liver transplant.
Man.
And had to go back into the emergency room. And being the man that he is at the hospital with her, of course, and so had to cancel today. So I just thank you for, I know you're going to bring a great show, but I thank you for giving us this time and allowing us to be able to mention the fact that that have your listeners be praying for Eric and Yvette. And now they can go to pray.org/men's conference. That will take them to the registration. And by going to the registration, filling in the information, and under the discount code, putting in all caps, Noble, your last name, N-O-B-L-E, and they will receive a 20% a $20 discount off of the registration. That'll get the price down to $60, and we will be blessed to have folks there.
It's going to
170 people registered right.
Awesome. Now. Yeah, it's going to be a great event. Friday night, February 21st, Saturday the 22nd, pray.org/men's conference, Providence Baptist Church with Dr. Eric Mason. pray.org/men's conference. Make sure you use the promo code NOBLE, discount code NOBLE. That would be me, N-O-B-L-E. Richard Newton, thanks for calling in, buddy. We'll talk again next Tuesday.
Thanks, brother.
All right, pal. Talk to you soon. We'll be right back. Back at Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. We're going to dive into all this insanity that's going on in Iowa. Then we have the State of the Union speech tonight. We have the Senate voting tomorrow, which will almost, this is almost foregone conclusion, voting acquittal, but Nancy Pelosi says it won't be acquittal. And Schumer and Schiff and Nadler are all saying it's going to have a giant asterisk next to it. By the way, stay tuned in, because in the last segment of the show, I'm going to play for you. This was a part of Adam Schiff's closing comments yesterday. Of just where this kind of abuse of power could take us under the Trump presidency, which Adam Schiff is probably having to come to terms with the fact that there's probably going to be a second term. But it's just crazy. So I'm going to get into all of that and we'll move forward. One more thing on the men's Providence thing here in Raleigh, February 21st and 22nd. Eric Mason, just to put it, I was just reading during the break on Facebook Live. If you want to join us in the studio, you can do that on Facebook Live. We continue our conversation on the commercial breaks, a sidebar conversation. I don't steal from you in the radio audience. I don't steal from Peter to pay Paul. We have a kind of a different conversation, a sidebar conversation, if you will. But if you want to be a part of that, that's an extra like 14 or 15 minutes in the hour for the regular radio show. Then just join us on Facebook Live. Just go to Facebook. You're probably scrolling through your feed already. And just go to the Steve Noble Show and you can join us. You'll see it there. Just hit the button and join us live right here in the studio. But I read this little thing from Dr. Mason's book. I'm going to talk to Dr. Mason next Tuesday. Dr. Eric Mason's the keynote speaker at the men's conference, February 21st and 22nd. The book is Manhood Restored, How the Gospel Makes Men Whole. And this is the environment that he's preaching into. In Philadelphia, he cites the stat, in Philadelphia, 90% of the homes in Philadelphia are single-parent homes, 90%. And 90% of those, 95% of those are going to be mom at home, not dad. So talk about dealing with men and the brokenness of men and the challenges of men. Eric Mason, Dr. Eric Mason, is in the middle of all that. So he's going to be just an unbelievable speaker to be blessed by and challenged by. Again, that's Friday and Saturday, February 21st and 22nd here in Raleigh. Even if you live in Winston-Salem or Asheville, wherever you're listening, this one, trust me, with Eric Mason, this will be worth you making the drive and staying in a hotel overnight. It will. Plus, they have 22 breakout sessions, so this is going to be awesome. Pray.org/men's conference. Yes, they actually have that website. I think they knew Al Gore or something. Pray.org/men's conference. The usual cost is $80 if you use the discount code NOBLE, N-O-B-L-E, that being me. Then you get $20 off of that, so it's only $60. And it includes, there's like a meal in there, and it's just going to be an awesome weekend, okay? So make sure you, so yeah, it's two main sessions, two breakouts, Saturday lunch and snacks for $60, which could very well change your life. So guys, get on that. Ladies, encourage and challenge your husbands, your sons to be a part of that. Pray.org/men's conference. Okay, where in the world do we start with all this? All right, so last night, Iowa caucus, which they're supposed to be done. Iowa caucus is bizarre. Basically what it is, and most people don't understand it, is all over the state, you basically have mini conventions. And they get together and they sit by their candidate. You know, so you have a section here for Buttigieg, and over there is Elizabeth Warren, and over there is Bernie Sanders and all that kind of stuff. And then they do a first pass taking the vote. And then if you don't get 15% of the whole room, then you're out. It's kind of like elimination. But then what you're supposed to do is throw your support behind somebody else. So you can actually have a bunch of different number ones in the room, and then where there's no agreement, but you could have a bunch of agreement on the number two person. So the number two person could actually end up winning. It's just crazy. So they usually, it's the first pass, and then they whittle it down. They do a second pass, and then they whittle it down and do a third and hopefully final. Before, they've only put out the information of the third and final tally from each caucus, which then goes to the state Democratic Party, and then they can tell you who won, how many delegates in the state. Okay? That's what's normal. But this year, they decided to release the results of all three, so they developed this app, which was developed by a company called Shadow, which actually had some people that were involved in Hillary Clinton's campaign. Yeah, you can't make this stuff up. So last night, they're supposed to report. They have all kinds of problems and glitches. This morning, no. This afternoon, no. Now it's supposed to be some of the results, or quote unquote, a majority of the results at 5 o'clock today. So we'll see. So how did the candidates react to this? This is funny. And this is all good for Trump, because Trump came in last night and was tweeting this morning that he's the only one that can declare victory in Iowa. So no matter what they do, it's just crazy. They just can't. This must be driving them so insane, which is what's behind kind of the Trump derangement syndrome. They just can't catch a break. So Pete Buttigieg came out last night and said, we're going on to New Hampshire victorious. So he just claimed victory last night, although he didn't have any grounds for claiming it. So this morning, he was on CBS this morning. We heard you say, host Gail King said, we heard you say we're going on to New Hampshire victorious. But how can you do that when the official results are not in? Facts are troubling, aren't they? So she pressed Buttigieg. Shouldn't you wait? King asked. The Democrat suggested he was referring to a personal victory. Due to how well his campaign did via internal polling, rather than declaring a win in Iowa, he did not yet have. Quote, well, we have the results from our organization. And if you look at what we were able to do, what happened last night, the fact that this campaign was able to gather support in urban, suburban, and rural areas alike, and counties like Hillary Clinton won, counties that Donald Trump won, we are thrilled and absolutely consider that a victory, Buttigieg responded. So that's such political speak. Because, hey, if you look at what we were able to do, what happened last night, the fact that this campaign was able to gather support in urban, suburban, blah, blah, how much support, Pete? Well, I had four people in each location that voted for me. Wow, it's a victory. We were able to gather support in all these different caucuses around the state. See the problem there? That's political speak. You always have to slow down and actually read and listen carefully to what they're saying. So that's Buttigieg claiming victory. Bernie, which Trump calls crazy Bernie, I think a better thing would be totally ticked off curmudgeon Bernie. Because everything that's been said about him for years is he's just this nasty-tempered, nasty old man, okay? No disrespect to any of you that are older. The first in the nation, this is Bernie's campaign. First in the Nation caucuses in Iowa Monday. This is from Daily Wire. Have turned into a debacle for Democrats amid reports of chaos and confusion, and perhaps most notably, conspiracy. Of course, that's a big word these days. The supporters of Democratic Socialist Bernie Sanders headed into Iowa suspicious enough of their own party. Did you catch any of those videos, by the way, that they caught some of his campaign workers? We're going to burn down Milwaukee. We're going to blank and kill people. We're going to blank and set stuff on fire. You think that's going to get worse now? Of course it is. The Washington Examiner's Joseph Simonson reported on some overheard conversations among workers on Bernie's campaign. He overheard several field organizers for the senator complaining that supporters of rival candidates were conspiring to block them from winning delegates. See, got to remember, last time they stole it from Bernie, gave it to Hillary by using the superdelegates. Superdelegate is basically you're in a room of 20 people. Four of them are superdelegates. Their votes count for four people, and everybody else just counts for one. So you can, a superdelegate can come in and totally steal the election. That's why the Democrats rigged it that way. Okay? So that was already part of the problem. One individual also complained about the campaign strategy of telling supporters to leave the caucus locations after the first round of voting. Quote, I guess I shouldn't have left after all, one male organizer said to another woman. Quote, I don't understand what was going on. All the other supporters seem to be against us. Both of individuals were wearing staff passes. No kidding. The last thing the Democrat Party wants is for the self-proclaimed, avowed Democratic Socialist crazy old man, Bernie Sanders, to actually win the primary. But I'm telling you, right, I don't think I'm going out on a limb. I think he's going to win the primary. And then that's the new left, which I think meet the new boss, same as the old boss. Nothing's really changed. They're just out of the closet. We'll be right back.
So if you're happy in your stuff, and if 10% enough, stay away from Jesus.
Okay. Waiting anxiously. Maybe. Maybe not. Waiting anxiously. 5 p.m. Eastern time. The majority of the Iowa results are supposed to come out. It's crazy. So we've been kind of working through what different people. Pete Buttigieg just claims victory. Then he says, well, it was a personal victory. Biden's people are going ballistic. And that's scary because of these couple of videos that were recorded secretly lately with some of Biden's organizers in Iowa saying, you know, they're going to burn Milwaukee down when they do the Democrat National Convention there. If Bernie doesn't win, they're ready to, I mean, these are just anarchists, okay? And it's just going to get nuts. Who knows? I think what we're going to find out here in the next few hours is Bernie won Iowa. I think Bernie's going to win New Hampshire. I think Biden's going to be toast. And Elizabeth Warren's numbers are sinking. Buttigieg will do better than anybody thought in Iowa, but that's not going to last long. So then the Democrats are going to have Bernie Sanders, crazy old white socialist, against Donald Trump, somewhat crazy old white capitalist. What happened to the party of diversity, by the way? That's interesting. Okay. So we talked about Buttigieg. We talked about Sanders. They're just all crying conspiracy, which I can't blame them based on what happened in 2016 when they stole it from him for Hillary Clinton. Now it's Biden. So their top surrogates are going ballistic. ABC News reporter Molly Nagel tweeted, I asked former Senator Chris Dodd, who's one of Bernie's top organizers now, if he thought the Iowa caucus results were discredited following the inconsistencies reported last night in the results. Nagel reports that Dodd told her, yeah, sounds to me like if you can't, you know, if this is wrong, what else is wrong? So you can't trust him, right? Dana Remus, general counsel for the Biden campaign, sent a letter to the Iowa Democratic Party demanding answers for what happened. There's this big, long letter. I read on behalf of Biden for president regarding the considerable flaws in tonight's Iowa caucus reporting system, and he's going to come in probably fourth in Iowa, which is just his ship is going to sink fast. The national polls ultimately are not going to mean anything. This is a state-by-state race. The app that was intended to relay caucus results to the party failed. There's an app for that. The party's backup telephonic reporting system likewise has failed. Now we understand that caucus chairs are attempting to, and in many cases failing to, report results telephonically to the party. Does it sound like we're back in the 1930s or something? These acute failures are occurring statewide. So they're just saying the whole thing is a sham. So the fact that we came in fourth or are going to come in fourth, well, we're not, can't believe that because the whole thing's a mess. So you got conspiracies exploding all over the place. Here's just a few examples. Well, here's what Donald Trump said. Big win for us in Iowa tonight. Thank you. Federalist co-founder Sean Davis wrote, Unable to steal the votes necessary to oust Bernie Sanders from the race, Democrat Party leaders in Iowa have apparently just decided to not announce the non-Biden winner in time for it to matter. You almost have to admire the chutzpah. Agreed. But when you have no moral basis, what do you care? You're going to kill babies in the womb right up to the point of delivery. You think throwing an election's a big deal? Messing around with the results? Using an app that maybe was designed to fail? I don't know. But for people that champion the cause of baby murder, you're going to put anything beyond them? No way. Fox News contributor Guy Benson tweeted, getting texts and direct messages from friends from across the spectrum. Lots, all caps, of cross-ideological skepticism about what's quote-unquote really happening here, a total mess. Leftist Peter Dow tweeted, if Bernie doesn't win, there will be a massive outcry that the Iowa caucus was rigged. If Bernie wins, he was denied a major primetime Iowa victory speech. Unbelievable and outrageous. Federalist co-founder Ben Dominic tweeted, Bernie Sanders won. They crushed the results to step on his victory, right? That's got to be it. Political reporter Mark Caputo tweeted, Bernie Sanders could have trafficked in conspiracy theories in his caucus night speech. He could have said how suspicious it was for the vote tallies to not be posted. He could have said the spiking of the Iowa poll was unfair to him, but he didn't, and that's to his credit. Josh Jordan tweeted the DNC when the results started flowing in that Bernie was taking the Iowa caucuses with ease, and then he had a picture of this dog with his eyes really bright, wide open, like looking crazy, right? Scott Adams tweeted, sheesh, how long does it take to rig a vote against Bernie? That's a great point. Good question. So that's going on. Then there's this. This is just amusing. Chris Matthews, Joe Scarborough, and others freak out over Iowa embarrassment. This is from Paul Boyes at Daily Wire. Chris Matthews likened it to a three-car funeral. Joe Scarborough called it a bad omen. And Jeffrey Toobin simply hailed it as an embarrassment. Over at MSNBC, a noticeably disgusted Chris Matthews said President Trump was chuckling all night as the Democratic Party struggled to so much as organize a three-car funeral. Quote, the guy in the White House is chuckling all night here, showing the Democrats can't even get a three-car funeral organized or whatever you want to call it. I would say to the people of Iowa, will the last person leaving Des Moines please turn out the lights? This has not been a success. That's pretty funny. Joe Scarborough, Morning Joe. What is wrong with the Iowa Democratic Party, he said. Again, this morning. Again, this is the party who botched the call 4 years ago, rushed it when the media was shocked that they would be so transparent, and now they get on the phone for 74 seconds? The world's watching this. We're not being melodramatic. Writing at CNN, legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin minced no words, deeming the night an embarrassment. Maybe the fiasco of the late reporting results from the Iowa caucus this year will have a positive legacy. The end of the caucus process and the invitation to another state to start the delegate selection process, wrote Toobin. The caucuses are an embarrassment to the Democratic Party in the United States. This is no way to pick a nominee. No kidding. So isn't it amazing? I mean, just crazy. Now, what about Mike Bloomberg? Net worth $60.8 billion. Well, here's what he's doing. This is from the Daily Wire. Reportedly instructed his team on Tuesday to rapidly increase the amount of money that he is spending on advertising and to add thousands of new paid staff to his campaign after Democrats dropped the ball during the Iowa caucuses last night. The New York Times reported, quote, encouraged by the murky outcome, Mr. Bloomberg authorized his campaign team to double his spending on television commercials in every market where he is currently advertising and expand his campaign's field staff to more than 2,000 people. Whoa. Bloomberg, a 77-year-old worth $60.8 billion, has dished out a massive $248 million to run commercials since declaring his candidacy for president. No other candidate in the Democrat presidential primary field has topped $30 million in spending. So he's just going all out. Matt Walsh, you may be familiar with him. He was a blogger. Now he's with Ben Shapiro at the Daily Wire. This was kind of funny. The Democrat Party can't run its own primary but wants to run the healthcare system. Good line. It seems the Democrats decided to hand the facilitation and management of its primary over to a secretive firm literally called Shadow Inc., which is a bit like sending your children to a daycare center named Child Neglect LLC. These are the sort of unforced errors the Democrats cannot seem to stop themselves from making as they continue to achieve the remarkable feat of making the Republican Party look competent by comparison. Of course, I may be giving them too much credit by calling the Iowa debacle an error. That categorization assumes there is no deliberate corruption at play here, and is probably not a safe assumption, especially given the Democrats' track record with primaries. Ha ha ha, pretty funny. So he's slamming into him, as he should. So then you've got President Trump. So what's happening to him? What's the result of all this for Trump's numbers, which he loves to talk about polling numbers, okay? Because usually they're in his favor. And certainly that's true now. So check this out. This just came out from Gallup. So we've got the impeachment, and we've got the Iowa caucus. We've got the State of the Union tonight. Yet he took out Soleimani. Then we just found out last week that he took out another top terrorist guy in Yemen. You've got the economy screaming along, slowing down a little, but still doing good. You've got unemployment at historical low records, lowest unemployment for African-Americans in 50-plus years. Same thing for Hispanics. But the one thing nobody's talking about, which we talked about with David Fisher yesterday, is our massive debt, $23.5 trillion, and climbing. And $1 trillion a year that Trump's adding. He said he'd get rid of it in 8 years. Well, that's not ironic. It's ridiculous. And all they're doing is adding to it. But what do the numbers look like? Well, President Trump's approval rating is now 49%, according to the polling company Gallup, a personal best for Trump and the highest he's received in the Gallup polls since he took office in 2017. Can you imagine what it's like for Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff and Nadler to read these numbers, to look at this, after all they've tried to sling at the guy for 3 years? And now his polling numbers are just getting stronger. The president's also doing remarkably well among both Republicans and self-described independents, notching an astounding 94% approval rating among those affiliating with the GOP and 42% among independent voters, up 5 points since early January with independents. Now, remember, when it comes to registered voters nationwide, about 30% are registered Republican, about 30% are registered Democrat, and 40% are registered independent. So when you've seen a 5-point bump in your approval rating amongst independents, that is an enormous plus for Trump. Because when you go into the general election, they're at play. They're not so much at play in the Democrat primaries, unless you're in an open primary state. You can go in as an independent. Like, I'm registered independent, for example. So here in North Carolina, when I go in and vote in the primary in early March on Super Tuesday, when I walk in and they don't check my ID, which I could be claiming to be anybody, as long as I know the address, they'll ask me which ballot I want. Do you want a Republican or a Democrat ballot? So the fact that he's ticking up in responsibility and favorability with independents is a big deal. Some more shocking numbers from this. This is all good for Trump. It just seems like nothing sticks to the guy. Isn't it amazing? It's amazing. So we'll talk some more about the speech tonight. What will he say? What will he not? And then you'll hear from Adam Schiff. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Can you remember, when's the last time that you can remember a 3-day event like this? We had the Iowa caucus last night. We had the State of the Union tonight. And we had the vote on impeachment tomorrow. All within 72 hours. That's just the world that we live in. It's so unpredictable. It's so crazy. It's madness. Because the world's going crazy. That is correct. You are absolutely right. The world is going crazy. Do you know what the definition of crazy is? It's being out of touch with reality. What's the definition of reality? Reality is that which is true. Well, then what's truth? What is true? Well, now you sound like Pontius Pilate. That's why, I've been in this conversation with somebody about, I had lunch yesterday with somebody that's voted for and funded Democrats for most of his adult life. And he sees the nightmares coming on the left with they're absolutely proud of their association with socialism, which is just one step away from the ultimate dream of communism. And he's afraid for the country. Now he's a fiscal conservative and a social liberal. But all of a sudden I need to start talking to some Republicans. Now he wants to pull people to the middle, which I appreciate. But holy cow, I mean, it's in a disarray. It's a state of disarray. And he was talking about, you know, how can Trump do this and how can Republicans support Trump and all these things. I go, well, that's because the moral fabric of the country is collapsing. Take Trump out of it. I think Trump's election tells you more about the country in terms of their political frustration for the people that voted for him, and also that they were willing to overlook his rather checkered past and the way he treats people and the way he communicates about people. I struggle with that, too. He was not my guy in the primary. But when the general election came around, I'm like, listen, I'm going to vote for him because I'm voting for the devil I don't know very well over the devil I know very well, which is Hillary Clinton. And so I like what he says. I like what he's going to do with judges. Unfortunately, the judicial branch is way out of whack today, so you need to have a lot of mojo in there because that's determining a lot of national policy these days. And so I was willing to be pragmatic. I don't think it's a sin to be pragmatic in a broken world. And so I'm like, okay, God knows I'm not walking into the voting booth supporting Donald Trump going, oh, by the way, and I support all of his other picadillos. That the fact that he has five kids with three wives, he cheated on his first wife with his second wife with his third wife, all that kind of stuff. The things that he said, go look up Trump quotes for years. There's a lot in there. And I'm not setting any of that stuff aside. Shame on you, sir. And he's going to have to deal with his maker on all of that. Hopefully, it'll be Christ that pays the price for him instead of himself. I don't know that. Neither do you, by the way. So there was some conflict there, but through 3 years of his presidency, he's done a lot of great stuff. So I really appreciate that. I'm not setting aside the things that I don't appreciate, the way he communicates, the way he treats people sometimes, yada, yada, yada. But wow, it's just amazing to watch all of this. And why don't we care? Where's the moral fabric of the country that you could have a game show guy, basically, with The Apprentice that you can put in the White House? And I'm not throwing him under the bus. He's done great things. But the fact that that doesn't matter that much to us anymore. 40 years ago, a guy with five kids with three wives, nobody would have even gone there. At least it was kind of hidden with somebody like JFK. But then Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky and all that stuff. What is the ultimate purpose or the reason behind all this kind of stuff on the right and the left? It's the degradation of society in general. On both sides of the aisle, by the way. Sin is not only located on the left. All right, so back to Donald Trump's numbers, and then you got to hear this Adam Schiff thing. It's hilarious. It really is. I'm trying to have some fun here in the midst of all this crazy. The January 16th to 29th poll was conducted in the midst of the Senate impeachment trial that will likely result in the president's acquittal. That'll happen tomorrow. The poll finds 52% of Americans in favor of acquitting Trump and 46% in favor of convicting and removing him from office. The Senate impeachment trial appears to have helped the president among undecided and independent voters. Don't you know that Nancy and Adam and Ralph love that? Gallup reports that Americans' confidence in the economy is higher than at any point in the past two decades. And satisfaction with the direction of the country is higher than at any point in the last 15 years. And that is across the board, meaning across the aisle. 63% of Americans now approve of the way Trump is handling the economy, up 6 points from the prior reading in November, Gallup says. It's the highest economic approval rating not only for Trump, but for any president since George W. Bush enjoyed stratospheric job approval ratings in the first few months after 9/11. That's amazing. Trump is so beloved at the moment that he's buoying Republicans. From Gallup, as Trump's approval rating has improved, so has the image of the Republican Party. Now, 51% of Americans view the Republican Party favorably, up from 43% in September. It's gone from 43 to 51 since September. Just general Americans' view of the Republican Party. And they can thank Trump for that. It's the first time the GOP favorably has exceeded 50% since 2005. And who do you give the credit to? Donald Trump. You have to. Democrats are seeing an approval ratings dip. Down 4 points since earlier in January, and few people are openly identifying as Democrats, just 44%. So Trump is just win, 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 win. And it makes me think of his crazy comment during the 2016 primary when he was like, hey, I think I could shoot somebody in the middle of Fifth Avenue and I wouldn't lose a single supporter. Now, what are you thinking that I even bring that up? Gosh, Steve, are you an anti-Trump person? No, I'm not. I support him a lot. I hammer him when I must. But my allegiance isn't to him or to the party. Our allegiance, if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, your allegiance is to him, first and foremost, and his word. And then you line up everything else based on that. So where Trump is doing things that are good for people, good for the country, all right, amen, I'm with you, bro. When he treats people like dogs and says some of the things he says, I'm like, no. I can't approve of that, and I can't look the other way. How can you if you're a Christian? We hold up the holiness barometer to everybody, especially ourselves. We judge righteously, and that includes the guy you voted for. So if you're unwilling to apply strict biblical standards to anybody, you've got an idolatry problem. You should be willing to apply it to everybody, mostly yourself. That's why James was talking about that. Hey, look in the mirror. Don't be the guy that looks in the mirror, walks away 2 minutes later. You're like, oh, yeah, all those Democrats out there, all those liberals. You're not going to be standing at the judgment seat of Christ. Hopefully you know Christ as Lord and Savior. You're born again. That's going to be about accountability and rewards. That's not going to be about whether you're going to heaven or not. But you're going to be standing there all by yourself. You're not going to be, hey, all those liberals over there, those people over there, these people at my church. No, you're going to stand there all by yourself. So keep that gun in its holster, if you know what I mean, in terms of don't be so quick. We point the white hot spotlight of judgment at the culture and at liberals, but you better remember to point it at yourself as well. I struggle with that myself. Okay, Adam Schiff, you got to hear this, okay? Or if I'm Facebook Live, you can watch it. This is Adam Schiff yesterday during his closing arguments, okay? And he's talking about here's what happens when you have a president who abuses his power. Here's what could happen. And he was totally serious. This is serious business, so you better listen, right? Representative Adam Schiff. From California, manager of the part of the House group that brought the impeachment over of what could happen with abuse of power.
If abuse of power is not impeachable, even though it is clear the founders considered it the highest of all high crimes and misdemeanors, but if it were not impeachable, then a whole range of utterly unacceptable conduct in a president would now be beyond reach. Trump could offer Alaska to the Russians in exchange for support in the next election, or decide to move to Mar-a-Lago permanently and let Jared Kushner run the country, delegating to him the decision whether to go to war. Because those things are not necessarily criminal, this argument would allow that he could not be impeached for such abuses of power.
Now, what do you think of that? Is that amusing or what? So, if you don't find abuse of power impeachable, then the president of the United States, oh, I can't believe it. The president of the United States could sell Alaska to Russia in order to help fix the next election. That's what's going to happen. Because we're saying today, you're saying today in the Senate, you're going to say tomorrow when you vote to acquit the president, that abuse of power doesn't matter. And the next thing you know, cha-ching, he sells Alaska to Russia for help with the next election. And I think Adam Schiff actually believes that. I think he totally believes it. And then what's the next part? And then, so he cashes the check from Russia, he wins the election, and then he moves to Mar-a-Lago. Not for a weekend, not to play golf, but permanently retaining the presidency of the United States while at the same time delegating all of its responsibilities to his son-in-law, Jared Kushner. That could totally happen. Like, totally. Like, I'm totally serious right now. Wow. Okay, so if you didn't believe, if you thought Trump derangement syndrome, which I think it's an overused term, kind of, every day that goes by, I'm more accepting of the fact that this should probably be listed in the American Medical Society as a verifiable condition. When Adam Schiff actually thinks that Donald Trump will sell Alaska to Russia to help them fix the next election, because they're already saying the election in November is going to be invalid. They're already saying that. They've been playing that game. And then he'll move to Mar-a-Lago and put Jared Kushner in charge. He'll abuse his power, and we can't do anything about it because that's not an impeachable offense. That's insane. And then Catherine, this is so funny. Catherine on Facebook Live. How about loading up a plane full of money and sending it to people who have pledged to destroy the U.S. and Israel? No, Catherine. That's not abuse of power. That's just good diplomacy. Because you can trust the mullahs and the Ayatollah in Iran. You can't trust Donald Trump. Holy cow, I can't believe you would make that comparison. Touche, Catherine. Good job. Anyway, it's nuts. So tonight, make sure you watch the State of the Union address. I can't give you extra credit for it, but I'm giving all my students extra credit. They watch it and write a 2-page paper. But we're going to definitely be talking about that tomorrow. We'll definitely be talking about the impeachment vote. We'll be talking about whatever happens with Iowa. The hits and the gifts just keep on coming from this crazy, crazy season. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always said, ever forward.